Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, what's this? It's a carton of eggs, and look, there's not many eggs left in it. There's only two eggs left in it. And this is going to be an increasing problem, particularly for middle-class women among Generation Z, it seems. They will have no eggs, and they will not be able to have children. And the reason for this is that Generation Z males are simply maturing more slowly. They are maturing, they are doing everything later, they are learning to drive later, they are becoming independent of their parents financially later, they do everything, they delay things because they are mired in student debt. And what I want to look at today is what this is going to mean in terms of human evolution, because a fascinating new report has come out on this recently called Baby Bust, which shows that it's going to lead to widespread infertility, particularly among Generation Z females. I want to look at what that's going to mean. But before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you leave a like? Could you share it? Could you hit the bell button? All that kind of stuff. It's good for the algorithm. And could you subscribe to my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff, some stuff I dump on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make, all kinds of malarkey. And if you like what I do, you can support the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So what has it found? Well, according to the report, Baby Bust, by the Centre for Social Justice, Generation Z men, and indeed those that are even a bit older than that, are heavily delaying becoming fathers. They are maturing later. They are doing everything slower. Because of student debt, they are doing everything slower. They are delaying actually having children. Now, of course, when men do things like that, they will tend to sexually select for younger females. This is just basic evolutionary psychology. A younger female is, within certain limitations, is more physically attractive. She displays greater beauty. She is more fertile. And so, obviously, men will sexually select for younger females. And of course, there's also a degree to which women will sexually select for older males, because women sexually select for status, because if the man has high status, then he's more likely to be able to give resources to them and their offspring and so on. And so if you select for a slightly older man, then this is a proxy for status. But that's the situation. But the point is that it's the men that are delaying maturing. And what they predict because of this is that about 600,000 women will miss out on being able to have children. And it may well even be that among that generation, the rate of people that end up childless is something like 30%. Now, if this is what's going on, it has very interesting consequences in terms of how humanity is going to evolve over the coming century or so. Because this has happened, and what the culture will be like in parts of the West. Because this has happened before. Throughout the 19th century and into the first half of the 20th century, there was an excess of females, and in particular, an excess of middle-class females. This was known as the Victorian spinster crisis. Why was this the case? Well, first of all, because boys will die in accidents or die due to silly impulsive behaviour and so on. And because their immune systems are worse, because they have greater genetic variability, you tend to get an excess of females. We are reversing this at the moment with mass migration of fighting age males, and also with medical advances and being a mollycoddling society and that kind of thing. But in general, you get more boys are born, a child is more likely to be a boy than a girl, to try to compensate for the fact that you end up with an excess of females. Now, sometimes culture and evolution can come together to bring you a substantial excess of females. And this is what happened in Victorian England. So you had the normal culling of boys as opposed to girls in children due to accidents, disease, and that kind of thing. Then you have the Industrial Revolution, and you have boys working in factories and being more likely to be injured in factories and to die, or to be crippled and maimed. Then you have the Empire, and you have boys, males, young males, going out into the Empire and breeding with the women there. Or simply going out into the empire, building up a fortune, and then having children later. And so what all of this meant was that there was this was particularly pronounced among the middle class, because it was middle class people who were more likely to go out into the empire and so on, and thus delay fertility. If I look in my own family tree of that generation, my great-great-great-grandfather, I don't think he started having children at all till his late 30s. And this was not unknown among that social class. So all of this comes together. Then, to make it even worse, you have World War One. And in World War One, about 8% of those that went out, of the men that went out, were killed. So already you have a further spinster problem. But among the officers, i.e. those that were more middle class, it was 12%. So this leads to an even more pronounced spinster crisis. You had all of these unmarried women who, for whom there was no one they would marry. Because the men that were left who had delayed fertility because of work in the empire, or who had delayed fertility because they fought in the war or whatever, would then go and find younger women. And so you have a generation of women where there is substantial excess. There's just no one they can marry. And their general inclination is not to marry down, because women are sexually attracted to status. And so they would rather end up as spinsters than marry down. And so that's what they do. And even if they did marry down, there was still not enough men. So you simply had an excess of women. Now, of course, what does this lead to? Well, this leads to competitive sexual selection pressure. This leads to women acting competitively in such a way as to get the men. Now, if they want the men, and they're the kind of woman that wants to have babies, that has baby fever, that wants children, then, of course, there is a specific kind of man that they will sexually select for. And that is not necessarily the highest status man. That is a man of reasonably high status who is also indicating that they want children, indicating that they are a good father, indicating that they are a dad, not a cad, as it were. It's those kinds of men that are attractive. Stable, kind, loving, but reasonably high status. You have to make a trade-off. Kind of men. You have to make a trade-off, because normally being very high status is not associated, is whereas being reasonably high status is associated with intelligence and pro-social personality. Being very high status is associated with intelligence and moderately antisocial personality, and this means you're Machiavellian and you get to the top. This means you're narcissistic and you can hypnotize people with your charisma and they will follow you and so forth. This means that you're psychopathic and you're cutthroat, and so this helps you to get to the top. The traits are optimally right for you to be super high status, but such a person doesn't necessarily want to have children. In fact, he probably just wants to have sex. He's probably a fast life history strategist adapted to an unstable and easy ecology, and thus to have lots of sex. Doesn't necessarily want to have children. But there's those two kinds of men that are attractive, depending on whether you are the kind of fast life history strategy woman that would like men like that, or a slow life history strategy woman. If you are a slow life history strategy woman, i.e. adapted to an ecology of live slow, die old, and therefore you have to invest energy in your offspring and bring them up properly so that they can cope in the ecology and pass on their genes and all this kind of thing, and therefore be highly pro-social and get on with people. It's rather like what a lot of evangelical churches are like. Evangelical churches often are up to 2/3 female. And so you see this competitive sexual signalling, but in a kind of humble way. So the women will basically purity, both sexually signal, i.e. make themselves look beautiful and so forth, put on lots of makeup and dye their hair and wear nice clothes. But it has to be a kind of pure sexuality, a purity signalling sexuality, where you balance the purity signalling of saying to these people, I will not cuckold you, I am a virgin, I am sexually constant, I am a morally good person, I play by the rules, and all those things that are attractive. Because if you're a man and you're going to invest in your offspring, you want evidence that the woman is not going to cuckold you. And if she is religious, then of course this can be seen as an insurance policy for that. Religiosity takes that which is good for the group and makes it into the will of God. It tends to take traditional morality, including traditional sexual morality, and make it into the will of God. In evolutionary terms, you will dominate other groups if you're high in positive and negative ethnocentrism. That means you have to be internally cooperative. That means you can't have men fighting each other. That means they have to be sure they're not being cuckolded. That means patriarchy and sexually constant behaviour, and religiosity tends to promote those things. So that's what you get. You get runaway purity. And you see that in the Victorian era and into the 20th century. You see runaway purity signalling, where sexuality becomes more and more taboo. Women cover themselves up more and more and more. Think about how they dressed in Victorian England compared to in the 18th century. More and more and more purity signalling, more and more and more evidence of sexual constancy, and that will attract these K-strategic, high-status, yet also kind and loving men. So we would expect to see that in the culture. We would expect to see a shift, if this happens, whereby women, who, or at least the kind of women that want to have children, will competitively purity signal. What about the kind of women that aren't that bothered by having children, but adapted to a sort of unstable yet easy ecology in which you live fast and die young, and therefore you don't really invest in anything. You don't really invest in your children. You don't really invest in anything. You basically go for sex and have lots and lots of sex and hope some of your offspring survive. That sexually select for that. Well, those women obviously are going to sexually select for men that are physically tough and that could protect them in fights, that sort of thing, and also simply high-status men, including much older men. Because, of course, age is a proxy for social status and for resources. Here again, there's going to be way more men than women. Way more women than men. So here again, you're going to get runaway sexual selection with a certain kind of woman in extremis signalling that she will basically just do whatever these men want. She will do whatever these men want. So ironically, perhaps these kinds of women will become very highly sexual. I don't know, but openly signal that they'll do anything. They'll do anything. And it's the one that's prepared to do absolutely anything within certain boundaries of beauty and youth that gets the man. certainly, it's been proposed by a chap called Peter Frost that the reason why there's all this diversity among white people, blue eyes, green eyes, blonde hair, ginger hair, is at least partly because we were hunter-gatherers in a very, very difficult and cold ecology, and massive amounts of men were killed on hunting trips. So there weren't anywhere near enough men. You had an excess of women, and that led to runaway sexual selection. And that resulted in things like ginger hair, blue eyes, green eyes, very pale skin, anything that would make you stand out, because in evolutionary terms, a novel adaptation in an environment where you could just be killed at any second, you might as well give it a try. And so anything that would stand out or just make you seem more sexually attractive. So on the one hand, how do we interpret that? Well, we interpret that as these women openly exaggerating their sexuality, fake eyelashes, whatever, in order to get men. But on the other hand, it is just competitive. And if those kinds of men want purity, then that's what there'll be a competitive signalling of. And what you'll also get is vicious attempts by women to destroy the sexual opportunities of other women. So they're both competing to look more beautiful, to look more young, to be more chaste and pure, for example, if they want to have children with a certain kind of man. But also, the women will compete with each other internally, slagging each other off, spreading rumours about each other's sexuality and sexual promiscuity, persuading other women to cut their hair short, all kinds of things to reduce the level of competition. So it could get very nasty among women. Even with something like Black Lives Matter, it could be argued that if you're telling, as a black woman, other black women not to have relations with white men, then you're eliminating that element of competition, because now they're no longer competing. They're no longer allowed to compete for white men, and so you're reducing their prospects of having babies against you. So those are the kinds of tactics that we might see. So that it could lead to very interesting changes in the culture. Indeed, it could lead, and it may well do, to a change in the culture where we are much more conservative, where there is purity signalling and we are much more conservative. Perhaps part of the reason why we've become so liberal over the last half a century or so is that there hasn't been an excess of females. There hasn't. If anything, actually, there's now an excess of males. So this alters the nature of the culture. But if this reverses, then perhaps we could see a move towards conservatism among females and thus in the culture as a whole. I hope this is a bit of interest. Again, please subscribe. It really helps me do that. And tally-ho, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?